It is time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. This is class session 231 of the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I'm glad you're here today. We've got an interesting lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of October 29th, 1922. And the very title of this lesson carries us back into the time of history in the 1920s. The name of this lesson is Worldwide Prohibition, World's Temperance Sunday. You see, from about 1920, I think it was till 1933, there was a constitutional amendment in the United States that prohibited the manufacturing and sale of alcohol in the United States. That is, alcohol used as an alcoholic beverage. Now, that didn't stop all alcoholic consumption, but there was a great effort across the churches of our land to help people get away from this addictive drug. And you know, it is now legalized, and we've got a lot of it flowing in McMinnville, but it is the legal drug that is our number one drug problem in the United States. We hear about meth and cocaine, and they are illegal. But they are harmful drugs because of the effect they have on the mind and on the body. And alcohol does the same thing. It has an effect on the mind and on the body, and it affects the judgment, and it affects the lives, not only of the person consuming it, but of those who are associated with that person. Lost work days, broken families, automobile accidents, and deaths. There's just all kinds of problems that come from the consumption of beverage alcohol. And I'm going to issue you this challenge. I've done this before. No one's responded to it. But if you will, I will read your response over my radio program and tell you what's wrong with it. I want to challenge this audience to see, where does the Bible permit us to consume intoxicating beverages? Okay, where does the Bible do that? Now, I know there's been various attempts to show that the Bible says we can consume intoxicating beverages at our pleasure. But the Bible warns against drunkenness, and that is clear. And I would challenge you to show where you can consume intoxicating beverages and avoid drunkenness. I know some people will say, well, I don't drink to get drunk. I just like the way it relaxes me. Well, what you're doing, when you are beginning to become relaxed because of your consumption of alcohol, you are beginning to be drunken. That's what it is to be drunk. It's affecting the mind. There's a very small amount of alcohol that can be consumed, and it is metabolized by the digestive system, and so that poison does not enter the blood, but it is a very small amount. And when you exceed that, which is just one drink will do it, you start to exceed that. If you enjoy the way it makes you feel, then you are enjoying your drunkenness. And that is what the Bible condemns. Now, but show me from the Bible where it says you can consume intoxicating beverages like that. You know, the very fact that it is an intoxicating beverage, have you ever noticed the word toxic in there? That word toxic means poison. Now, if you want to challenge me on this, then send me an email or text me at my email address. And I'm going to give it to you. Are you ready to write it down? I'll give it to you twice. WMHBOYD at AOL.com. You want to catch that again? It is WMHBOYD BOYD at AOL.com. And you show me where you think the Bible lets you drink these poison beverages. And if you can do that, I'm going to read that over the radio, and I'll show you how you've got that mixed up. I'm telling you, that's what I'm going to do. I've heard various people try this in various ways, and it is always a failure. And so the best thing to do is to go back and think, you know, I don't know if legal prohibition is the way to work. I do like the fact that there's still laws regulating the consumption of alcohol. You know, children aren't to consume it and to buy it, and so we still have laws against it. But then it talks about World Temperance Sunday. That word temperance simply means control of yourself. And how to control yourself around alcoholic beverages is the point here. Alcohol is an addictive drug, and a lot of people lose control of themselves when they're around it. And so this is why it's called a Temperance Sunday. Now, the whole lesson isn't on that, but there is this comment in Elam's notes for the Sunday of October 29th, 1922, that is very important for us to remember, because independent of the laws of the land, we are under the laws of God. And here's what Elam said: civil law is not necessary to force Christians to do right. The prohibition of everything which God forbids and the force of everything which He commands should be worldwide. One thing as much as another, strong drink should be prohibited. Citizens of Christ's kingdom are members of God's church under the rule of the gospel and should abstain from all intoxicating liquor, because God forbids Christians to engage in such sins. But the law is necessary to restrain evildoers from doing wrong and to compel them to do right. Now, there's two texts for that last statement that I want to read to you. One of them is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause ye pay tribute also, for they're ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing, render unto all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And the other text is found in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. I want to read verses 8 through 11. And it's very explicit. It says, we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. As knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and unruly, for the ungodly and sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers, for liars, for false swearers, and if there be any other thing contrary to sound doctrine, according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. No, good people, Christians, do not need the many laws by which to live. The laws that are given and those that are done by the civil authorities are really to keep civil order. It's not to make religious converts. Civil law is not to make religious converts, but to preserve civil order. And so it is for the civil disorderly to force them into some kind of social compliance so that they don't wreak havoc among the righteous and the peaceful people of the land. And so Christians are going to live right regardless of what the law might say, and even contrary to the law if they have to, in order to do what is right. But the law is for the righteous, is for the unrighteous man. Now that's why this was called the Worldwide Prohibition and World Temperance Sunday. That's October 29th, 1922. But that's not really what the bulk of this lesson is about. The text of this lesson, as given, is Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 9. And this text is quoted by Jesus himself in the New Testament. And so what I want to do is turn back over and read to you where Jesus quoted this in the book of Luke, since we're studying Luke. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14 and going down through verse 29. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a fame went out concerning him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered, as was his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Doubtless ye will say unto me this parable, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in thine own country.' And he said, "Verily I say unto thee, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But of a truth I say unto you, there were many widows in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land. And unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And they were all filled with wrath in the synagogue as they heard these things. And they rose up and cast him forth out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went on his way." That is Jesus reading in the synagogue the book of Isaiah. Again, that was Luke chapter 4. The passage he's quoting from Isaiah is Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, and it is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. What I want you to do at this time is take your Bible and go ahead and put a little mark in there, a little bookmark or something, to Isaiah 61, and we'll begin the next class session looking at Isaiah 61, 1 through 9, and show how these things tie together with what we read about in the book of Luke, and we'll learn some of God's truths from the prophet Isaiah. And so, make sure you listen for the bell, and come back next time to the Warren County Radio Bible School.